Okay, our speaker is Freya today, and she's going to speak on fear on pages 67 and 68. Go ahead, Freya, it's all yours.
Awesome. Thank you, Sandy. I'm going to start my timer. My name is Freya. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I'm a Al-Anon chaos creator. So grateful to be here. Oh, it's nice to see some familiar faces. I've only been to this particular meeting once before, I think. So I like it's a little cozier and smaller. I do want to talk about fear, and I want to start by qualifying just a little bit. I was like raised with knowledge the 12-step program existed, and also this inkling that probably I belonged in one someday. And so I came into OA when I was 19. I'm kind of a lifer here in, this is for whatever reason, this was where God had me, was just in 12-step rooms. And I never really wanted to leave or considered leaving. I believed what people said when they, were like, well, you're not going to find anything if you leave. So, after a long time in OA, I came into Al-Anon as well. And along the way, I discovered the Big Book, and that's where it really started to make sense. It stopped being just diving with group support, and it became an actual, all that stuff that they said in the steps, it started to click, especially the spiritual awakening piece. So that's been my experience, is really finding a spiritual awakening through the Big Book and being led to want to have a message that I could carry to others. And that's what led me to the Big Book Awakening in particular. I felt like this is a message that has depth and weight. This is something that I really believe in. Whereas in the past, it was kind of like, well, I don't know. Have I had a spiritual awakening? I'm not sure. Do I have anything to offer others? So that's just a little bit about me and how I got here. And I did my first BBA, my first experience with BBA was in October of 2020, doing a big workshop with all addictions. And it got me comfortable with this idea that we're all the same. In the past, I had been to open AA meetings and I felt like an imposter, even though I really loved what I was hearing. I just felt like I can't, I don't really belong here. And so being in these all addictions meetings is like, it's amazing to find this community where it actually feels safe and comfortable and like I have a voice and that I can identify and relate with you guys. So if people ask me like, what did you get out of the Big Book Awakening? I would say that the continual encouragement to let this be something that God does, like let this be God's work. Like I show up and I participate, but I'm not doing this stuff. I'm not making any of this stuff happen. So I love that approach. It just takes the pressure off. I just show up and follow the directions. That's it. So with that, I want to talk about fear for various reasons. And the last few days, weeks, little while, I feel like I've just felt this continual overwhelm and exhaustion, and like there's just too much busyness, and I don't even work. I'm a stay-at-home parent, and I'm like, why am I feeling overwhelmed? Because I'm in charge of what I do, and it doesn't really matter how much I get done or how much I put on the schedule or how much I don't have on the schedule. I always feel driven by this underlying fear of I've got to perform. I've got to stay on top of it. I've got to, I can't let up. And it's because I'm in self-reliance, really. So it got me to, that feeling of exhaustion got me to really look at what's going on. What are the fears that are driving me? What's the delusion that is active here? So I do want to read the section in the Big Book about fear, because it's pretty brief and it's really powerful. And then I want to share a little more of my experience, particularly, how I use the fear inventory and to access God. So I'm on 67 at the bottom, where it says, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties in the third column. So have I noticed that? You know, if I've done, and I got to do this with a sponsee yesterday, was go over this section. So it's fresh in my mind as well. And after going through my resentment, it's very, very clear how much fear there is. So perfect lead in. So this, can I see that this short word somehow touches about every aspect of my life? Can I see that fear is an evil and corroding thread, that the fabric of my existence is shot through with it? And there's two great images right here. One is that it's that, you know, that thread that's throughout, you know, the fabric of my existence. It's just woven in there. And the next imagery, it says, can I see that fear sets in motion trains of circumstances which bring me misfortune I feel that I don't deserve? So that idea of this train that is getting rolling and I can't stop it. And actually I don't realize that I'm getting that ball rolling when I am reacting to the world out of fear. So did not I myself set the ball rolling, reacting out of fear? Going on to 68, we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. And for me, fear steals my ability to play the role that God assigns, which we'll talk about a little bit later down this page. So what does fear steal from me? It steals the ability to be present, the ability to be in touch with this higher power that is going to guide me and provide everything I need. It keeps me stuck in self-reliance. So here are the instructions for the fear inventory. We review our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we have no resentment in connection with them. So when I become aware that there's fear, I try to, you know, get it down on paper, just like I'm afraid of blah, blah, blah. And for me, it's pretty much always at the root of it is I'm afraid of not managing well. Or I should say recently, that's what's coming up with me. It's like, oh, there's that fear of not managing well again. And all these, this terror about the consequences. And then I love this so much. This is our next direction. We ask ourselves why we have the fear. And then this is like such a bold statement. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed me? Like, oh, that's why I have the fear? Like I never put that together. I feel like they put this in so subtly and so matter of fact. And I'm like, whoa, that's why I have the fear. It's not because I suck, I'm broken, I'm wrong, I'm an addict, I'm worthless or hopeless. It's just because I've been in self-reliance, and self-reliance has a limited shelf life. Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. And that is true. It's like self-reliance appears to work sometimes. And that's kind of the worst part of it. I'm like, oh yeah, I am managing well. I've got it going on. And especially for myself as a chaos creator, when I'm getting high on adrenaline, you know, making things happen, it really seems to be working. It's, you know, I'm getting an effect from it. So, but it doesn't go far enough because I burn out. It says some of us once had great self-confidence, but that can't fully solve the fear problem or any other, and when it made us cocky, it was worse. So when it makes me think I got this, it's even worse, because then I forget, I lose touch with my powerlessness, or I deny it. I'm like, what, that powerlessness stuff? Psh, what was that? I got this. Thankfully, they offer us a solution. Perhaps there is a better way. Or in our transcription, do I believe there must be a better way? There's got to be a better way than self-reliance. We think so. For I am now on a different basis. Remember step 2 and 3? I'm on the basis of trusting and relying upon God. I trust infinite God rather than my finite self. I love that juxtaposition. It's like, oh yeah, finite self, infinite God. Which one am I gonna, you know, bet my money on? And the crazy part is I've been betting my money on finite self all this time. And that, you know, am I willing, do I see that as objectionable? I love this next line. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. It's like, oh, that's why I'm here. I'm not here so I can manage you, manage everything, get what I want, feel a certain way, earn approval, validation. I'm here just to do whatever God assigns me to do. And that doesn't include being in charge of any kind of outcome. Just to the extent that I do as God would have me and humbly rely on him, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity? So that's a big promise. It's saying, you know, it's saying that stuff is going to happen, you know, like stuff is going to happen that I probably don't like or don't want. And when I rely on God, thanks, that's my timer. I'm going to, when I rely on God, serenity is going to be possible. Even when I, you know, I thought serenity was impossible without getting everything in order the way I wanted it. And this is telling me serenity is possible, even when, you know, the stuff hits the fan. One more paragraph here. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. So I have to say, I was one of those, you know, like you're going to, like, I'm going to rely on myself, you know, like maybe God's, like God's there, but I got myself as a backup plan. So paradoxically, spirituality is the way of strength because it means I go out and face the world like naked, you know, like without all of my coping mechanisms, all the things that I think are going to keep me safe. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage, and courage means that the fear is present and that I go ahead and I do it anyway. You know, like I just trust that God's going to remove it when God wants to, when God sees fit to remove it. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. And I don't have to apologize for the person that God has me today. You know, like that's part of self-reliance. That's part of image management, is if I'm thinking that I have to apologize for who I am, for my shortcomings. And in fact, God created me to be just where I am, shortcomings and all. Instead, we let God demonstrate through us what he can do. And then I love this prayer. We ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And at once we commence to outgrow fear. So it's saying we're going to, you know, outgrow it, meaning not, it doesn't mean that it's going to be squashed or stomped or eradicated, but that it's going to be there and I'm going to, God's going to grow me into something that is no longer going to be controlled by it. So I love this powerful, simple directions and statements in here. So when I did the Big Book Awakening, for those of you who are familiar, we do a fear grid where we, you know, list out all the fears and we play them out to an end point. And that was really useful for me to just get out, just give it all, articulate it all, you know, put it all out there and see how often fear shows up. But the other tool that I use more in my, you know, in my inventories today is the, you know, simple questions that it has here. What's the fear? Why do I have the fear? Am I relying on finite self or infinite God? Is self-reliance failing? You know, how has self-reliance failed? And then saying that fear prayer, you know, God, please remove this fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. So with my remaining time, I wanted to share a little bit of what came up for me in the last couple of days. And so it's a little vulnerable here, but I'm just going to read some of it. You know, I was asking God, what am I really afraid of? And I said, you know, just this is what's present for me today. And it's come up on the inventories, but it doesn't mean it goes away. You know, like self-knowledge isn't the answer. So what came up for me, and this, I think this is this morning, is being uncomfortable, being wrong, being at fault, making a mistake, causing harm, being bad and wrong, feeling ashamed, being worthless, being rejected, in pain, alone, hurting with no end and no solution and no relief. So all that stuff, you know, I've been through this work. I've, you know, living in a recovered state, and this stuff still comes up and I need to still give it, I need to still put it on paper. So why do I have the fear? Because I don't want to give up managing if it means I will feel all the sad and scary feelings. And I'm, you know, dealing with some grief, and it's really scary. It's like, I want to put it in a box and not touch it, because what happens when I open that box? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm afraid to surrender because I may become vulnerable to all of it and feeling all of it. If I don't manage well, I'll be worthless and vulnerable. Self-reliance has been my solution. How can I give this up? I don't even know where to start. So then that's the crux, is I can't wish self-reliance away any more than, you know, my addictive substances. So how has self-reliance failed? It keeps me stuck in patterns that don't work. It keeps me trying to run on my own battery power, and I quickly get depleted, exhausted, and overwhelmed. And then I become resentful, reactive, and behave in self-seeking ways that cause harm to others. That's my 5-minute warning. Self-reliance doesn't keep me safe. It keeps me stuck. So that's how self-reliance fails, is I keep going back to it, thinking this is going to keep me safe. This is, you know, keep me from having to deal with all that icky stuff. And it just keeps me stuck. And then I said the fear prayer: God, I ask you to remove these fears that stem from self-reliance. I ask you to teach me to humbly rely on you. I am here to play the role that you assign, and how would you have me be? And then if you're familiar with two-way prayer, I just paused and did a little meditation and let God answer it in my writing. And what God, you know, I'll just read, I won't read all of it, but you know, what God said is just be, you know, be open, be flexible, let your, oh, and this was the main thing, this imagery that came to me was that I've like tightly wound up, and God said, just let yourself unravel. You know, it's like my self-reliance and management is like, okay, I've got to keep myself wound up, like just tied up constantly. And I'm going to use adrenaline to get through life and feel okay and feel powerful. And God says, just unravel, just stop, just like let it all unravel and melt and collapse in a heap and just like fall on the floor. Said, let the delusion of self-reliance be smashed. It doesn't work. And let your own experience convince you, which is exactly what is taking place. It says, no, you don't have to do it right or even know what to do. It will feel foreign as you practice new skills, as you learn to let go and turn to me for guidance and intuition and direction. But you have all you need. You were designed as a receptacle for my message, a conduit for my power, an instrument for my voice. You have all you need within you. Let yourself be open and curious. Let yourself have a new experience of trusting and relying. Let go of all that you learned before. And God's assured me, you know, you're all set and you cannot go wrong. So how would God have me be today is to just to be okay with not even knowing how to do this, to be okay with not even knowing how to rely on God, and just to stay in this present moment. And I feel like I wish I had some other profound thing to say, but it's like, stop trying to even define it, you know, like, just like, let it be, just let it be, and just do whatever is the next right thing. So anyway, I think I'll leave it at that. I hope that was useful. Thank you so much for the space to share something that feels really current and valuable to me. And I look forward to hearing everybody else, and I'll pass.
Great. Thank you, Freya. I'm going to stop the recording.